So we're going to speak about initiation. So initiation means to accept spiritual master Diksha Guru. And the process of accepting Diksha Guru is under the heading of Sambandha Gyan. There's three aspects of devotional service: the Sambandha, Videya, Prayojana. And the presiding deity of Sambandha Gyan is Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is the deity of Sanatana Goswami. And, of course, you find Madan Mohan is on Dwadasadicha Tila, or Dwadasadicha Hill, in Vrindavan. And the idea is Madan Mohan. All of us are in this world are attracted by Madan. Madan means Cupid. And Cupid has five arrows, right? Form, touch, smell, taste, etc. And these five arrows are attracting all of our senses within this world. And so in order to divert our attention from Madan's objects of senses, we need to become attracted to Madan Mohan. That means the attractor of Cupid, Madan Mohan. Of course, we know Radharani, Vrindavaneshwari, is Madan Mohan Mohini, the attractor of the attractor of Cupid. So by becoming attracted to Madan Mohan, then we can avoid the sensual attraction. Of course, in the beginning, as described by Krishna in the Gita, now, happiness or transcendental life is like poison, and at the end it's like nectar. So the beginning of devotional service under the jurisdiction of Sanatana Goswami, Madan Mohan, is controlled by the intelligence, not by the brain. So, because we know there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So Prabhupada said the intelligence is like this with the super soul, at least intelligence that's fixed in the shastras. And so we find verses like those in the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodaga Vedam, Regam, Jival Vegam, Udara Pashta Vegam, that one should tolerate the pushings of the different senses. You know, the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and worst famous verse. By Srila Rupa Goswami, it's called Upadeshamrita, or Nectar of Instruction, as published by Prabhupada. So one tolerates these things, functions on the basis of intelligence. Intelligence means I have a particular goal in life. And to achieve that goal, I need to not do things that I would ordinarily like to do, and to do things that I may not like to do ordinarily to achieve that particular goal. For example, if you have to go to work in the morning and your goal is to make a lot of money, then you might like to sleep. But instead, your intelligence says, you have this goal, therefore, get up, you bum, in the morning, right? That's the intelligence. You know what the right thing is to accomplish your goal. So intelligence, to function on the platform of intelligence means that one has to be goal-oriented. Does that make sense? Goal-oriented. And sometimes in Sanskrit, that's called like a sankalpa, like having a particular reason for doing something. It's like if you have a wedding ceremony or a even an initiation, if you do all the mantras, which I don't do, you, before starting it, you do a sankalpa. That means, you know, why am I here? What am I doing? What is the time of the month? You know, what is the time of the day? What is the time of the year? You go through all this whole thing, you know, like it's a this. It's the ninth day of the Krishna Paksha, means the dark moon. So you go through the whole thing. That establishes your goal. Basically, it establishes your goal. You know, why you're here, what you're doing. So if one's goal-oriented, then controlling the senses becomes very, very easy. So goal-oriented in terms of Krishna consciousness. So what is the goal of Krishna consciousness? Krishna prema. But that goal is a little bit far away for most of us. It's not like right here tomorrow, you know, I'm going to be absorbed in Krishna prema. You know, tomorrow we may just be absorbed in, you know, torture from our senses or something like that. But, however, if you focus on that, just like when you're driving, going for a long drive, Of course, here in India, it's kind of torturous to go for a long drive. But in America, sometimes we drive for thousands of miles. Then you actually have this goal, where you're going, your destination, and you have this thing called the GPS. You ever heard of a GPS before? No.
Please.
It's called a global positioning satellite. It's a little device. I think they're starting to have them in India right now, or at least have India maps. So, and you punch in your goal. But in getting to your goal, it's telling you go left, go right, go left, go right. So if you have faith in your GPS, which you should have, because it's controlled by modern technology, the nice satellites and everything like that. So if you actually have a good GPS and good maps, a database like that, then even though, you know, maybe a little confusing, you know, why am I doing this? I just want Jan Hare Krishna to be happy, you know. Then... so that's the spiritual master is like the GPS. You know, turn left, turn right, do this, do that. You think, well, I just want to, you know, just give everything up and roll in the dust of Vrindavan. But the spiritual master says, you know, you're not there yet. It's not time to roll in the dust of Vrindavan. You're still in the middle of the ocean. It's like you're flying to India and you think, I want to roll in the dust of Vrindavan. You get out of your plane seat and start rolling in the, isn't it, the aisles of the plane? Then they'll probably arrest you or something like that, or do something to you. Because it's not appropriate. You haven't reached your destination yet. When you come to Vrindavan, it's appropriate to roll in the dust. So therefore, the guidance of the spiritual master is required. And that's a sambandha. The initiating spiritual master is giving you the sambandha jnana, you know, connecting you to Krishna. And then generally, in Krishna consciousness, the initiating spiritual master also functions as the instructing spiritual master, which is Abhideya, which is under the jurisdiction of Srila Rupa Goswami, Radha Govinda deities, like this. So generally it's like that. Of course, in our Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada is the predominant, preeminent, main, I'm going to use a lot of different words for the same thing, most important focal point. You know, I'm trying to think of a lot of different synonyms or things that are related. He's the most prominent siksha guru in our society, and everybody else and all other instructions are judged by the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and the guidance and the example of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. So therefore you have Prabhupada as the siksha guru or the Abhideya Gyan, along with you're an instructing spiritual master, but instructing spiritual master is basically assisting Prabhupada. That's actually where the Ritviks go off, because they don't understand the difference between sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. They may say they understand the difference, but really, sambandha is accomplished by the Diksha Guru, who must be present on the planet. But abhideya is actually is in one sense of a higher level. I don't want to say it's more important because you need both. You need to understand your relationship. You need to act in terms of the relationship. But, you know, so they consider, you know, they got things backwards. They consider Diksha more important than Siksha. But in our disciplic succession, our line of disciplic succession, Siksha is considered more important than Diksha. As you find when you trace out our heritage, like you have people like Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who was the Siksha disciple of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And so the connection is through that Siksha connection, although he took initiation too. Initiation is essential. So you actually find in many places, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was initiated by Vipini Vihari Goswami, but the connection is actually through Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So you see that, you know, the Siksha emphasis is there. So that's Abhideya, which is actually extremely important. And then, so we should understand that about our connection with Prabhupada. Everybody's meant to develop a relationship with Prabhupada, judge things on the basis of Prabhupada's example, precepts like that. And then one is safe and secure in Krishna consciousness. Like I know I'm safe in Krishna consciousness because I'm judging things on the basis of what Prabhupada would want. I try my best to accept things that Prabhupada would accept and reject things that Prabhupada would reject. I ask myself the question, what would Prabhupada want in a particular circumstance, or what would he not want? And on that basis, I'm doing that. And I'm able to do that because of, you know, intensive study of Srila Prabhupada's books. And also, like today, we were on Parikrama. I was asking Shrutakirti different questions, even about Prabhupada's eating habits, which to me is extremely interesting. Yeah, I'm finding out when Prabhupada ate, how much he ate. Not that I'm going to imitate Prabhupada. You know, I asked if Prabhupada ate things cooked in mustard oil, and Shrutakirti said that made Prabhupada very sick when his sister would cook for him in mustard oil, but Prabhupada never wanted things cooked in mustard oil. Never had heavy fried things. I said, just like in the West, you know, sometimes the devotees like these real heavy fried sabjis in ghee, of course, or sometimes oil. Sometimes oil. And they have these eggplants. You know what an eggplant is, right? Eggplant, yeah. They put the eggplants in ghee, and the eggplants become like little sponges. You know, and so I asked Shrutakirti Prabhu. Prabhupada ever, he said, Prabhupada just, he wouldn't take like deep fried sabjis. He would actually just use a chaunce, like a little teaspoon or something of a chaunce in a sabji. That's not to criticize anyone else, but I'm asking the things because I'm very inquisitive as to what Prabhupada did. Not that I'm going to imitate Prabhupada or anything like that, but at least, no, we shouldn't imitate. There's anusara anukar. That means either to follow in the footsteps or to imitate. Imitation is not required, but following in the footsteps of Prabhupada's desire. So it's important to see how Prabhupada acted, but not necessarily to imitate Prabhupada's actions, but to understand why Prabhupada did certain things and their teaching behind certain things. So in this way, my connection with Prabhupada is very strong. And so no matter what happens in my life, you know, whether things get a little rough in ISKCON or whatever, I don't leave Prabhupada's society, which is extremely important. And that's a requisite for those who take initiation in ISKCON, to remain faithful to Prabhupada's society. Because I'm thinking, you know, they would displease Prabhupada if I did anything else. And I don't want to displease. My whole life is based on pleasing Prabhupada in a spiritual way. So even though there may be many opportunities that arise, or, you know, like you're on a boat, the boat is rocking back and forth, and the ISKCON boat does rock a little bit sometimes, rocking back and forth, then we always stay within Prabhupada's society. Like many years ago, a practical example in my own life, that, you know, there was some situation where it was really intense due to some whatever situation, and I didn't leave the movement. I went off and made my own temple somewhere else in Prabhupada's society. I opened another temple. So many devotees left, or some devotees left. But my feeling is that my whole life, my life, my essence, whatever, is very much connected with Prabhupada. I can't. There's no disconnect. I can't disconnect it. I wouldn't want to disconnect it. So that's the standard that should be there for all the devotees in Krishna conscious movement. Not to criticize other people and other ashrams or other organizations, because they have their own loyalties. There's no problem with that. That's wonderful. They can go back to Godhead. But as far as all of us and my expectations, or at least my requests for my disciples, you know, sort of gave up a lot of expectations a long time ago. But my requests to my disciples to develop that same sort of connection with Srila Prabhupada and understand that's me. You know, I'm connected with Prabhupada, and you know, if Prabhupada's preaching in some other planet, you know, I'd like to be with him to assist him, or at least assist his mission in some other planet. And so that's my life. I mean, that's to Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada, they're inseparable. They can't be separated from me. And some people you'll find they can be separated. You know, they'll be more, without criticizing, but let's say spiritual opportunists, so to speak. But for me, there's no disconnect. So that's really important. So that's the Abhideya, you know, the Siksha Guru. And then, of course, Prayojana means to reach the spiritual perfection, which is a higher stage of devotional service, because then first we have Sadhana Bhakti, which is composed of Vaidhi and Raghunuga practice, and spontaneous. Then there's Bhava Bhakti, and after that there's Prema Bhakti. So the Prema Bhakti is actually the Prayojana. And also, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada will lead us in that particular stage, and when it is time to reach that stage, then Prabhupada will help us reach that stage of devotional service. So everything, we can obtain everything within our Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, there's no need for people to run to some Babaji in Radhakund you know, recently we've experienced people, you know, they're offered some like higher realization or something like that, or you can understand what your siddha deha is, your that is spiritual body, perfected body, and they succumb to that allurement, and it's, you know, I guess it's very emotionally satisfied, and I see that, you know, they're emotionally, let's say, absorbed in that particular realization, and it may satisfy some emotional needs, and you know, I don't want to criticize them, but devotional service is not a cheap thing. I mean, achieving prema bhakti is not like jumping up to that higher platform. It's when you really have the mercy of, mercy means that that Krishna's representative is pleased with you. It's not just the mercy like the feet, and you know, go on the head and then you see Krishna or something like that. It's like when he's pleased, the spiritual master is pleased with you. Just like Prabhupada said to someone about this temple in Mayapur, when if you help build this temple in Mayapur, I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally take you by the hand and take you back to Godhead. You know, so that really struck me, Prabhupada said that. And so, you know, so that's mercy. We need to be taken by the hand, because if we just show up in front of Radha and Krishna, they'll say, get the hell out of here. You know, so we need to be introduced to them by someone who has taken us under their wing. Do you follow that? So, but that's a higher stage of devotional service, but we should be careful not to attempt to jump to a higher stage. Prabhupada compared it to imitating Hanuman. He said, hey, there's this saint in Bengal, I probably translated it, big monkey, big belly, Ceylon jumpy, melancholy. So if we try to jump too quickly, then we end up flat on our belly. We've broken some bones in the meantime, and we won't achieve our destination. Whereas if we serve, like probably, there's so many statements probably that gave, like deserve, then desire, you know, work now, samadhi later, and many statements that Prabhupada gave us. So that's, but if we stick to this path, you know, sambandha bideya prayojana, loyalty to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's assistants and Prabhupada's devotees, and remaining within Prabhupada's society, we're all part of the same family, then we definitely will achieve the highest spiritual platform, that of Krishna Prema. Another thing is that regardless of who we are initiated by, we don't want to inculcate in our consciousness a partisan spirit. Like, you know, I'm one of Krishna Maharaj's disciples or this person's disciples. I don't personally, when I'm dealing with people, I don't see any difference, you know, whether I initiate someone or don't, as far as I help them in Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's not that I'm more prone towards my disciples, you know, initiated disciples than others. For me, I'd like to help people. Like, I take people around Giri Raj, and it doesn't matter whether they're disciples or whoever they are. Oh, pardon. I'm all right. Before I eat it, we could water down the digestive. I just drank some before I came down. Thank you for thinking about that. So, you know, in other words, that's very important. We don't want this guru groupie consciousness. I don't, at least. You know, like some sort of rock and roll star or something like that. We're all part of one family. And, you know, Prabhupada's disciples. I mean, sometimes we find some of Prabhupada's disciples say, you know, we're Prabhupada's disciples and couldn't be prouder. And if you don't like it, we're going to shout a little louder. You ever hear that? But, you know, I mean, obviously we respect, there's an etiquette. But really, we're all part of Prabhupada's family. We don't want to just like be so much concerned with the hierarchy that, and the different guru groups that we actually don't see the true family relationship between every member of ISKCON. You know, I don't see a difference. I mean, I go to all these temples in India where I don't have any disciples, you know, but to me, it's just the same. You know, just the same. It's just like they're all part of Prabhupada's family. If someone's loyal to Prabhupada, then they're part of my family. Like that. So we don't, in other words, I don't want that, you know, the fans, you know, the Veer Krishna Goswami fans or the whoever fans. It's just, you know, we're servants of Prabhupada. And we should be calm in our Krishna consciousness, not over, emotions can be there, but not overly emotional and sentimental. Sentiment and emotions are good, but overly, where we become just too much, you know, just too much immersed in these things, then we lose sight of our intelligence, which is the main factor in Krishna consciousness. Of course, when one becomes completely pure, Savaya Manat Krishna Padara Vindaya, when the mind is fixed completely on Krishna, then the mind becomes as good as Vrindavan. Vishaya Chidya Kavi Shuddha Havivana Kavi Hama He Rabo. Sri Vrindavana is Narottama Das Thakur praise. But right now it's not like that. Our mind is not Vrindavan. Our mind is somewhere else. So that's the lecture. So any questions or comments? Maipur, any questions or comments?
How is it? Narada Muni, you know, this one person, he drank the foot water of a certain exalted devotee, and after some days of doing that, he was able to perceive. Narada Muni ate the remnants of a devotee, and he was able to hear.
Yeah. Well, there's actually very powerful substances, the foot bathing water, prasadam remnants, and the dust of the feet of pure devotees. I mean, that's another thing. But the most important thing is hearing. But, you know, I could even say that when I was with Prabhupada, going on some morning walks with Prabhupada, I followed Prabhupada from behind and I would eat the sand in Prabhupada's footprints. It was kind of crunchy, but...
Do you think Srila Prabhupada would have been into that?
Didn't matter. I would take it anyway. Because there's a part in the Bhagavatam where Prabhupada, we're talking about Narada Muni, how he, during those 4 months, Prabhupada said, with or without the permission. Prabhupada says that in the purport, without the permission, with or without the permission of the sages. Mm. You know, so whether Prabhupada was in it or not, I mean just like the story about Jadu Thakur. Who was the other person with Jadu Thakur and who stole? Jadu Thakur was eating. Anyway, there was one great Vaishnava, and I forget the name right now. It escapes me. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he would go to every Vaishnava's house, give them some fruit and everything, and wait outside. And yeah, then wait until the man and his wife.
Kalidas?
Kalidas, yeah.
Kalidas. Like
yeah, yeah. Yeah, he would wait until everyone had sucked the pits of the mangoes and threw the mango skin of pits in the garbage pit outside. And then he would sneak outside the garbage and start eating it. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased. And that's without their permission. Obviously, they would never want that to happen. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that Lord Chaitanya allowed him to drink his own foot bathing water. When Lord Chaitanya was going up in the Jagannath temple, they were bathing the feet first. And Lord Chaitanya allowed him once or twice. He said, that Krishna's fulfilled your desire, no more than that.
That's
right. So Lord Chaitanya actually permitted him because he did that without the permission. Because he had faith in the prasadam remnants, the foot bathing water, and the foot dust of the great devotees. And, you know, when I was with Prabhupada, I mean, the few times I wasn't with Prabhupada, tons and tons of time, like Shruti Kirti, but the few times I was with Prabhupada, I did make sure that I got the remnants. Another time, Prabhupada, we had served Prabhupada, he had come into, where was it, Dallas, Texas, and I had arranged the reception. There's the phone. No, it's not. I'd arranged the reception for Prabhupada and all the prasadam. We had a fruit plate and everything like that. So after the reception in the VIP room, you know what a VIP room is? That means a very important person room in the airport. Then we had to clean up. So I told the devotees, you know, I understand you want to be with Prabhupada. I'll clean up. So to me, the cleanup meant that I stole the whole plate of prasadam and ate everything, the grape skins, not only the skins, the rind. What do you call that again?
The stems.
The stems, the grape stems and everything like that, the orange rinds, you know, the outside of the orange peels. And I would have eaten the plate, too, if it hadn't been metal. So I just, like, completely devoured everything, didn't share anything with any of the Vaishnavas. And I knew when Prabhupada went to the temple, he wouldn't give the lecture immediately, so I made it back in time to go with Prabhupada on the lecture. So anyway, so I did do that. I did take advantage of the few times when I could take remnants or have the personal or physical association with Prabhupada. And knowing what I know now, I would have done it more often. You know, I probably would have, anyway, a lot of things knowing in retrospect, that means looking backwards, I would have done differently. Like when Prabhupada was leaving the planet, he wanted all of his disciples with him to be with him as he was leaving this world. But unfortunately, some of the leaders didn't convey that information to us. they actually told us that, I mean, I wasn't one of the big leaders then. They actually told us that Prabhupada only wanted the people that he personally could recognize. And, of course, that was rather traumatic, being told that your spiritual master wouldn't recognize you. It was quite a traumatic experience. So anyway, but knowing now what I know, knowing now what I didn't know then, I would have actually, or knowing then what I know now, I would have actually made sure I was with Prabhupada at that time when Prabhupada was leaving the planet. So but there's many, many things that we learn through the passage of time. You know, time makes us a little wiser, hopefully. And so we can't do anything about it. But we can still take advantage of associated with Prabhupada through the classes and everything like that. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, you have another question.
Unless they have a question.
Yeah.
What if you take the foot dust or the prasadam remnants of devotees, for devotees still, but in engaging in simple activities?
I would do it.
Well then, but how do you know?
How do you know? You can put a TV camera in their room or something like that, follow them around.
Well, but basically, the point I'm making, I guess, is Kalidas, he didn't differentiate, he didn't distinguish.
No, he didn't distinguish, but he was on a very high level. I would be careful, personally. I mean, but if inadvertently that happens, it's not going to harm you, but... You know, if I go to the liquor store or something and find some devotee buying liquor, drink his liquor remnants.
But like going to the temple in, say, Vrindavan, and going to the prasadam refuse area, basically people are throwing out half-eaten plates of prasadam constantly.
That could be a little dangerous.
That's what Kalidas...
Yeah, but if one was on a higher level... But Kalidas also, he knew who was who. But if one was on a... And one is on a higher level. Like Prabhupada said that. Your Prabhupada was asked the same question about eating at the Sunday feast the remnants of plates. You know, people, we have Sunday feast plates and we have a lot of people leaving over sweets. So Prabhupada was asked to say, can we eat the remnants? And Prabhupada said, if you have that realization. And of course, when I was a young devotee, it's not that I had that realization, I just like sweets. After the Sunday feast, I would... people wouldn't eat the Gulabjamuns usually because the Westerners aren't accustomed to them. So I would actually go around to everyone's plate at the Sunday after the Sunday feast and pick up the Gulabjamuns. So I did it without the realization. But yes. But the Prabhupada said if you have that realization, you can do that. But I don't know if I would prescribe that for people as a regulated practice. For people who don't have the higher realization like that. And then sometimes you get sick too.
What if you get a guru who's trying to get his disciples to drink his foot water, take his foot paraphernalia?
Well, you have to see what his intention is.
How do you know what his intention is?
You got to ask him.
But he lies.
Well, what his intention is. I mean, if he's doing things like taking his foot water and just taking up a pot and sprinkling everyone, that's a little bit too much.
But you never hear Srila Prabhupada saying, "Here's my sock. It is very special sock. You should worship the sock."
That's right.
Put it on your altar, frame it.
No, Prabhupada was very humble. He never said anything. So, any other questions? Serious questions?
No.
So, anyway, congratulations on your initiation. And you have a nice name, Tulsi Seva. I mean, serving Tulsi. If you serve, that's Tulsi is Brinda Devi. So if you serve her, then you'll always be at Krishna, Radha and Krishna, but especially Krishna's lotus feet, and then you'll be able to associate with Radharani. To and serve Radharani. That's a perfect name, Tulsi Seva Devi Dasi. All right? Okay, so we'll see you all. So what about tomorrow?